Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls, we're alive because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, so for kindness, Torah Rachamim. You're now tuned into the inner higher frequency of Soul Class number 380, Heart to Heart, from Jerusalem to the rest of the world, program number 2, and we're waiting any moment for Rabbi, Doctor, international human rights activist Eliezer Goldstock to call in, who will provide for us an assessment of the current issues in the Holy Land in general, and in particular from his living currently in Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, Irshel Zahav, the city of gold. We're not talking about physical gold, but we're also talking about spiritual gold, along with his wife of valor, Hannah. And there they are administrating their organization, Heart to Heart, which you can learn more about by going to their website. It is hearttoheartamerican.org, H-E-A-R-T-T-O-H-E-T-American.org. And I think we have the good rabbi on. Is that you, Rabbi Goldstock?
Direct from Yerushalayim, Er HaKodesh. And I want to tell you, it is a beautiful day here in Yerushalayim. How are you? How is the weather there in New York? Hello?
Yes, Rabbi Goldstock, Eliezer, unfortunately, I accidentally dropped the call, so I'm going to ask you to call back in. You know the way of connecting back in. But so sorry for that glitch. You know we have Murphy's Law, but by me, I call it Don's Law, and something can go wrong. It can go wrong by me, and we merely chant out Gamzu L'Tova. So hopefully Rabbi Goldstock will call back in a moment. I'm sure there's a lot to report to us about, and as well, here we go. Eliezer.
Hey, Don, how are you doing?
Good. You just experienced, not Murphy's Law, but that's Don's Law, because if something can go wrong, does go wrong, We say Gamza Latova. It's also for the good.
Everything's for the good. It's
yes.
all good. How's everything going there? Can you hear me?
I can hear you well. I have you on speakerphone, but you're being recorded directly into Blog Talk Radio. And for those listeners who are listening all around the world right now, again, we have Rabbi Eliezer Goldstock, who is the director, along with his wife, Vela Chana, of Heart to Heart American, which you can learn more about by going to hearttoheartamerican.org. Eliezer, I want to be a minimalist. We talked about it yesterday. I'd like you to speak most of the show, and I'll throw in my comments once in a while. I won't elucidate how 7 times 13 is 28. We know how that goes. So maybe you'd like to start off the show with any
particular... That you can find on your website, right?
Yeah. Well, you can probably find that in my DNA.
Well, listen, I want to tell you real quickly, I was reading a story the other day about a Protestant minister and a Catholic priest who enjoyed teasing their rabbi friend constantly, trying to get him to convert. And of course, he resisted them, as a good rabbi would. But then came the high holidays, and it came out that right before the holidays, he decided to send them a season's greetings card. And he said, friendly little nudge between them. He said, he wrote in the card, "Roses are reddish, violets are bluish. When the Messiah comes, you'll wish you were Jewish." So so sometimes, a little friendly, joke here and there works out. Anyhow, so you were saying about minimalist, I'm always reminded of the Jewish mother. You say to somebody, "What is a genius?" What's a genius?
Right.
That's an average student with a Jewish mother. So you have to remember that minimalist, when you're talking about Jews, is a completely different thing. I'm always reminded of the politicians, what is a politician? He's a man who will double cross that bridge when he comes to it,
Yeah.
So, they say in Israel is a very, like an inside joke. Of course, it's true anywhere. He says it's too bad that the people who run the country are busy driving taxis and cutting hair, So anyhow, I just have to throw in a little bit of funny at the beginning. You're supposed to always start off with a little bit of humor. First of all, speaking of humor, not too much of it the last few days here in Israel. I did see that, and I don't know why this struck me as funny, but they were trying to dismantle a rocket in Gaza yesterday. You read about that?
Yeah.
And five people were killed because the rocket exploded. Apparently, they were all Hamas top weapons experts, explosive experts, and unfortunately, there was a one of the journalists, Italian journalist, was amongst those that was killed, and there were quite a few that were injured. So.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they try to do something good, it doesn't seem like it's working out that well for everybody. It seems like what we need to do is the only thing I can think of, and this is probably the worst time to be thinking about these kinds of things. But when you look back to 1982. Or you go back to 2005 or 2006, whatever. At every single time that Israel has been on the precipice of finishing off the enemy and really doing the complete job, we wind up a number of years later with the same problem, only in a more sophisticated manner. 1982, of course, they had... Yasser Arafat in Lebanon and could have gone in and finished the whole thing off and decided for some reason at the last minute, because of world pressure, Israel backed off and didn't go in and finish the job. There are many people that I've spoken with today who are saying, go in and level Gaza, just level the place. Tell everybody to leave and just go decimate the place. And then the Hamasniks will have no place to go. They'll have no following because everything will have been completely eradicated. And those who do want to talk about some level of peace, and I don't know how that works because I'm not really that big on politics. You know, I probably should be driving a taxi or cutting hair. But the point is that the only wars that have ever ended have only ended and resulted in peace when one side beat the Levin tar out of the other side. You know, I mean, yep. That's just the way the world works. Okay. Now, that having been said, we're talking today about all of the special needs people who live in Israel and who are providing, who are being provided for, or who are providing for us. I want to tell you that one of the things that I see in Israel that I never see in the United States is when you go into a mall or when you go into a restaurant or when you go into any type of service-based industry, there's always someone in there who has Down syndrome working in one of these places. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, it's just such a beautiful thing because, you know, my first reaction is I want to walk over and say, way to go, you know. But, you know, when you're talking about inclusion and you really want to accept inclusion and you want to say differently abled is okay, you really have to stand back and allow the process to unfold. There are many times I've seen people that work in a young lady, for example, the other day was working in a bakery, and she has Down syndrome, and she made a mistake, and of course one of the employees that she worked with started yelling at her, and she of course yelled back and explained like two employees, and I started to feel bad for her, and then I realized hey, this is just two people who are working together, fellow workers, having it out and working things out. And I noticed that nobody came to anybody's aid or, took sides, and just the thing just worked itself out. And as upset as the young lady was, the one who had Down syndrome, she took it, She realized that she made the mistake.
Right.
She did stand up for herself. So, if nothing else, just being given the opportunity to make a mistake, I think, is part of what this process is all about. So you were talking with me a few days ago. We have several things that are going on here right now that are just amazing, amazing stuff. First of all, I don't want to get into all of the details of our building and our the process that's going through, because it seems like what should have taken days and weeks is taking months and years.
Right.
And I want to explain why. In Israel, you have a process where you have to first apply for what's called an amuta, which is a status of being a not-for-profit organization in Israel. So we have applied for that, and we have a lawyer who finalized all of our documentation, and we're now a two-year-old not-for-profit organization. Then you have to open your bank account, and then you have to the state of Israel needs to know exactly what it is you're doing with the funding that you have, no matter where it's coming from. And so therefore, we've explained to them what we want to do. Now, we have this building that we've put a deposit on. We had to make the deposit through private funds because otherwise we wouldn't have been able to tie up the building. Now we've got the building tied up, but we have to wait for our board of directors has to meet with the State of Israel's board of directors who supervise all of these things, and they have to approve every step of the way all of the various funding and investing project prospects as we go through this. Now, another thing that we've done is we're setting up a number of private funds for families who want to sponsor their children, Asid Lavoy, into the future, so that they'll be able to have and they'll be able to know that that money is being cared for properly. And I want you to know that in Israel, the way that you set up a private fund like that is done through not only the board of directors of your organization, as I said, but the bank has a board of directors and also the State of Israel. So Medina is supervising. There's three different checkpoints here to make sure that the money that's there is there for that particular child, so that that child will always have that funding set up for them specifically. So what we could have done 1, 2, 3 in the United States if we were doing this there takes a little bit longer, but the advantage to it is that now that we have this and all of these things are in place, that once this is approved and signed off, we will then be able to commence functioning. As I said, we have a staff. We have an amazing staff of people lined up who are, many of them, recent graduates of Israeli programs who have credentials that they've held for 20 and 30 years from outside of Israel, the United States, England, South Africa, Australia, all English-speaking professionals who will be working with us in with this project. Now, we also...
I'm sorry, can I just... I just don't want to butt in on minimally speaking. Number one, we have listening in from Queensland, Australia, Professor Ross Barnard, who sends along his love, and he sent me a virtual kiss to share with you from Queensland, Australia. Number two, I have a quick question about the board of directors. Now, I know you had a set of board of directors in America. Will they all have to go to Israel to meet the board of directors in Israel, or this can be done through Skype or some sort of modern communication?
Yeah, no, the board of directors, we have the continuing board of directors from Heart to Heart who are all on board with the new project here in Israel, Shira V'Zimra, Machon Shira V'Zimra. We also have a few additional people on board from that are Israelis, but it's a unique thing that because of this double and triple checks and balances that are set in place, you may have an existing board of directors continue to function with the old organization and participate with the new one. There is a minimum of 3 new board members that must be Israelis that have joined on to the board. However, Elie Wiesel and all of the other people, Alan Stock and people in the States that are on our existing and current board, will continue to function in that capacity in Israel. And as you said, the board meetings will be conducted through Skype notes and so forth. And since we're not dealing with a profit-making organization, and because the board meeting is merely to help direct and approve funding for various projects, the necessity for voting on stocks and bonds and that kind of thing are not required for an Amuta type corporation here in Israel or anywhere else for that matter. So the organization in the United States, Art to Art, continues to function and work. In fact, we've had several babies that were born in the course of the time that just since I've been here in the past 6 or 7 months, and we've worked with the families in the United States. We have people there that continue to work with us. Siggy Berger, who has worked with us for going on 2 decades now, continues to be participating in the States. However, you have to understand that when somebody has a baby today, it's not as critical a problem as it was when we began 30, 40 years ago, where infants were being given away or abandoned at birth. Today, you can abandon a baby in a hospital, and it's legal. In those days, it was not.
Uh-huh.
So if you have a baby and you should suddenly decide that you don't want to have the child and you don't want to keep the child, chas v'shalom, so you can leave the baby in the hospital, walk away, and nobody's going to bother you about it. Now, the hospital does contact us if it's an Orthodox Jewish family, and we try to make contact and inroads with them. In fact, we had an incident recently where we were very successful in changing the direction of that infant's life, and that baby is now home with the family and has completely fully integrated into the family. Most of the time, and I think we've spoken about this over the past programs, that often it's the grandparents who have the most difficulty in adjusting to having a special needs child. Today, young people discuss these things when they go out in shidduchim. How would we handle this type of a situation? What would we do in this set of circumstances, etc.? And so we've done a remarkable job collectively as a community in altering the consciousness of acceptance to in dealing with special needs children in relative to abandonment. And speaking of shidduchim, I want to mention something that my wife has just started. In fact, we've already got received several names and several seriously interested people. We are developing a database here in Yerushalayim for the entire world dealing with special needs, differently abled adults who come from Orthodox families, from Jewish families,
mm-hmm.
Not necessarily only Orthodox. We have also got some people who are not yet Orthodox. That's the Lubavitch approach to these things. But, we're saying, look, there are enough people out there today that want to get married. We are actually planning a trip up north to meet. There are three couples that we know of that, just as an example, who recently got married within the last 3 years,
mm-hmm.
who all have Down syndrome. All of the members of the couples, in other words, three males, three females, all have Down syndrome, all married, boys
wow.
and girls. Not, no.
Wow.
And so we're going to start interviewing them and staying in contact with them, because we want to find out what makes a successful marriage in this genre. We need to see and we need to understand a little more in depth as to, I need to be the taxi driver and the barber here and learn
right.
a little bit more about the details of how these things work and why they work. And like I said, we have people that are from the United States who are credentialed for many years outside of Israel, who have recently credentialed themselves here in Israel, and they will be doing the conducting these studies and participating and helping us with defining and redefining the parameters of a successful marriage. You know, hopefully this will, roll over to to typical people in a marriage. Maybe we'll find some of the secrets of keeping a marriage together. Maybe it's, the old KISS, what my wife always says to me, keep it simple, stupid,
Right.
So it could be that it's just a matter of keeping it simple and keeping it simple for Shidduchim, KISS. So that's the way we're going to we're functioning and working in that direction. So differently abled people now know that they can get in touch with us, and you can reach us actually the easiest way is we have a website that's just put up, Machon Shira V'Zimra, the best way to reach us would be if you're interested in discussing a shidduchim. What we're going to do is set up a database with photographs. Each person will have their own little Facebook-style page on the website, and you can only access it with a certain code. So when somebody is interested, speaking with Rabbanim here right now. We have two very chashuva Rabbanim that we're speaking with who are going to sign on and put their haskama on it. Really, really chashuva Rabbanim. And I just will leave it at that. Hopefully we'll have, in the next week or two, we'll have that straightened out. You have to remember that here in Israel, the 9 days, Tisha B'Av, up until Tu B'Av, basically, hardly anything is conducted in terms of making changes or doing anything in a positive way. Now, Tu B'Av has come, and we are now in contact with everyone, and we're commencing developing the website. You can always reach me online through Rabbi Eliezer Goldstock on Facebook, although I must mention, I don't know what happened, but they... if you reach 5,000 people, friends on Facebook, they prevent you from getting any more friends. So I'm thinking of joining with Don Zusha Goodwin and saying, okay, we're going public, and opening up my site to making it a public site just so that more people can participate. Now, one of the problems that we have, of course, is that you have a lot of haters out there. People who don't like Jewish sites that are enjoying life and finding and doing good things and good deeds. And so therefore I had to close the site. It's not only a private site in terms of the number of people that can join. So if you have requested to become a friend on my site and you can't get in, it has nothing to do with you. And it's nothing personal. It's just that they won't allow it. The Facebook people won't allow it. And secondly, I had to close it off and turn it into a private site because I was getting a lot of haters that were sending really very not nice and very unflattering kinds of messages. And, of course, we don't need that. We've got our own problems worldwide. But... on my site, we try to keep the language clean. We make it so that it's a site that, aside from the unfortunate few videos that I had to put up that dealt with violence and extreme violence, but I feel that violence needs to be seen and people need to understand what it is that we're fighting. I'm not putting that type of violent and barbaric behavior on my site anymore, but I felt that it was important that those things be seen and be understood and recognized, because evil does exist in the world. There is evil in the world, and we need to know what it is we're fighting. Now, that being said, we have Yes.
Excuse me, I just want to, what's the halfway point? I just want to give you some feedback from Queensland, Australia, from Professor Ross Barnard. He said, the audio is fine. Good luck with battling the bureaucracy and keep up the wonderful work, including the educational work. Good night, friends. And he also requested that somehow there could be more photos to demonstrate and to exhibit to the world the great work that you're doing out in Yerushalayim, Jerusalem.
Well, that's what we're working on, exactly. And by the way, I want to mention that Professor Dr. Ross Barnard is a member of our board. He is one of the members of our board who is a very liberal supporter and a conservative thinker. And I like those kinds of people because they get it and they understand. So liberalism is good if you want to make it in terms of your donor base. Conservatism is good as long as you're talking about your religious and the philosophical and political viewpoint. Socially, we're also very liberal. I think for an Orthodox rabbi and for an Orthodox organization, we have demonstrated our liberalism in terms of accepting all kinds of Jews in our process. And I want to say that I want to personally thank Professor Barnard for all of his efforts and support on our behalf. He is just an amazing young man. And he, like I said, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but he's working on finding the cure for one of the machlas that has affected women over the years, and hopefully we'll soon see payers from his efforts, and we'll see the speedy coming of his success, and that will hopefully be the schar that will bring Mashiach to Cana. I just want to say, and also, by the way, anybody else who's interested in helping out by participating, it's very simple. You pick up a pen and a paper, you put a check or cash check or money order in an envelope and mail it to us. We're located at Rehov Yochanan ben Zakkai, and that's spelled Yochanan, and then Ben as in son of Ben, and Zakkai, Zakai, and the address is 18-1, and it's Jerusalem 93186. I dyslexically gave that zip code to Professor Barnard, and he mailed it to me with the dyslexic version, which was reversed a few numbers, and it got to me. So you see that, when you say God is watching over Israel all the time, he is. And anyhow, but I gave you the correct zip code. It's 93186. And you can just send it to Heart to Heart, care of that address, Yochanan ben Zakkai, 18-1, zip code 93186, Jerusalem, Israel. And you will receive all of the blessings. By the way, anybody who sends in a donation of any kind and puts their Hebrew name on it, and their mother's Hebrew name, I take those and put them in the Kotel Maravi, in the wall, the western wall. And anything that you need a blessing for of any kind, just send it along, and we'll put it in the wall. I know people who are working hard diligently to improve their situations at work, in health, who tell me that they sent in the donation, that they sent in their name, that they're telling me amazing amazing stories, and hopefully we'll collect a number of these stories and put them together in a book or a booklet and distribute it so that other people will be able to hear and see these amazing, amazing stories of success and of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Yerushalayim. I had a friend of mine who... Yes.
I just want to throw feedback out to you that Professor Barnard responded with a thank you for your mentioning his collaboration with you and being part of the board of directors and all the good zachen.
He shouldn't have to thank me. We should have to thank him. But I recognize that there's really no other form of, you know, of a derech to be able to demonstrate, you know, the nimusei, how do you call it, good manners, you know. So I understand and I recognize that, and I don kuf schus to Professor Barnard for all of his efforts, and there are many others, by the way, who have sent in over the course of the past couple of years, who have sent in, who were sending in, who stopped for whatever reason and then started again. I want to tell everybody that anyone who has sent in donations over the course of the past year or two will receive a recognition through, I'm putting together some very beautiful certificates with some letters that I have not had the ability to put together all of our stationary needs here. And, you know, I'm working, you know, in temporary office facilities. In fact, just to let you know how primitive we are, I just purchased two brand new office chairs so that we will have, instead of having to sit on these straight back plastic chairs, I'll be able to work, you know, longer into the night. But I haven't yet figured out how to put them together. So there you go. In fact, right after we finish this this broadcast today, that's the next thing on my schedule. I am going to be assembling two office chairs that will allow us a little more comfort in our offices. And we now have our office equipment set up, and hopefully, like I said, we'll start sending out letters of thank you with certification. Anyone sending in any type of a donation from this point on will be receiving a certificate. I'm encouraging people to try to give $50 or more. It just makes it easier for us, although I'm receiving $18 donations that have been from people, and I'm sure that there are many people who are sending in who are doing it because they want the bracha, and it's not because they can necessarily, either they can or can't afford it. I don't know what goes on in anybody's account, but I do know that it's greatly appreciated, and that what we're trying to do here and what we're putting together here is absolutely going to be a source of pride for anyone who anyone participating in this great effort. My daughter, Suri, you remember Suri was on last week? She's here. We're gonna have a little conversation with her now. But she has a blog that that was up and running, and it's being, like I said, during the 3 weeks and the 9 days, they took the site down, or they're, what's there is there, but they're redoing it, and it's going to be up and running again in another week, and it's going to start having a regular, the Nefesh people saw it, and they loved it. They even published the address for it, and they're excited to have her, you know, participating and developing her website. She and Mendy were both pictured in Times Square. You probably didn't even know about this. I don't know if I mentioned it.
No.
They had a photo contest through the National Down Syndrome Society, American, I don't know, one of the national societies in America, they submitted a photograph of the two of them in Yerushalayim from her blog, and it was selected as one of the photographs, and it was put up in Times Square. It was put up for one day. They had a, you know, they have the Jumbotron or whatever it was.
Yeah,
so that
yeah.
Her photograph and Mendy's were up, I don't want to say which day of the week it was, but it wasn't one of the days of the week where we would have been able to see it, if you get my
right.
drift. They're not obviously Jewish, and they didn't tell us ahead of time when that photograph would be run. But, okay, anyhow, it went up, and I think they'll be sending us a photograph. I have the photograph itself, but I want to get the photograph of it, you know, when it was up in Times Square. Anyhow, but I'm not pushing for it because, like I said, it was done on Shabbos. So. Anyhow, so that's done. Then, okay, so we've discussed the Ulpan. Did I discuss Ulpan yet?
No.
Hebrew is the language of the Jewish people, and it's a language that has been renewed and revived after not having been a spoken language for 2,000 years. And the amazing thing is that we are a country of people who speak Hebrew. So
mm-hmm.
when a person comes to Israel, they can join an Ulpan, and when you go to the Ulpan, you learn how to speak Hebrew. Now, if you're differently abled and you learn a little differently than other people, going to a regular Ulpan is not necessarily going to be the most efficient and propitious way of achieving language skills. So what we've done is we have just begun this week an Ulpan with a teacher that is versed in Hebrew and English, who is teaching and has worked with special needs children for the past 20 years.
Wow.
And this class is being offered for a small group at a time, and anyone interested in signing up for this class who has Down syndrome or any other special need that prevents you from being able to acquire knowledge the way everybody else does, should contact us, and you can reach me at 052, this is in Israel, 052-86-99972. That's 052-86-99972. 052-86-99972. Now,
request the in Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, Eliezer.
It's anywhere in Israel. It's with a cell phone, you don't need to be. The Ulpan is in Yerushalayim, correct? So it's being conducted right now in Katamon, and anyone interested should contact us. Right now, there are absolutely no fees involved. You don't even have to give us your 2-dot Zahut number because we started with a small group, and until such time as we have everything completed with the Amutah, we're not going to charge anybody for this. It's being offered absolutely free of charge, and it's something that's very needed. Now, if you're calling from outside the United States, you can reach me on that phone number at 011-972-5286-99972. I know that sounds like a joke, that's the way you reach Israel. So you call out from outside of Israel, you call 011-972-5286-99972. Now, and if you're interested in making a donation to Heart to Heart, both here in Israel and in the United States, and you want to make a check out and mail it in, and you don't want to send it to Israel, it's easier to send it to the United States, send it to our address in the United States. That's Heart to Heart. That goes to 383 Kingston Avenue, and that's number 232, Brooklyn, New York, 11213. And we'll get that. Now, Suri, can you come over? Can you come over here and say a couple words to us? I'm going to try to switch over to a speakerphone here. I hope I don't lose you. I know we did last time, but I'm going to try to. I'm going to try to prevent this. Hold on. Here comes Suri.
Hello, Suri.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you clearly.
Okay. Suri, can you say hi. Just make sure he can hear you.
Hi.
Hi, Suri. I hear you clearly. How are you feeling today?
It's good.
What's the weather like in Jerusalem today?
It's hot, yes.
Hot.
It's very hot, too.
You know, I want to tell you something very interesting. Suri works in an art program where she's employed, and we got a phone call. She's been working there for, I guess, 2 years now, a year and a half, something like that, long time. And we just received a phone call from the Hanhala of the Shekel, which is the organization that she does her work with, telling us that they've never had anybody as talented and as what?
I didn't hear that.
As talented and with such initiative, she actually, they were teaching her how to do something, a certain thing, with one color. And she decided on her own to take the initiative to try doing two colors at the same time. And they said they've never had anybody that actually, and not only did she try it, but it turned out that the color combinations and what she did were so spectacular that they felt that they had to make a phone call and call us. Now, she was there, and she got to hear the whole thing, so that's why she's kind of enjoying hearing me talk about her, in such glowing terms.
That's what a father's
supposed to do.
Really proud of her. That's what a father's supposed to do. That's what a father's supposed to do, especially when there's growing things to talk about one's child.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Well,
we'll
advertise the blog next week, hopefully, and you'll get a chance to see some of her artwork if you haven't had a chance to visit the blog yet. And hopefully you'll get a chance to see the photograph that was in Times Square. And you'll have an opportunity to meet some of her friends and see some of the things that that Nefesh B'Nefesh and Yachad and the other organizations were so excited to see that she's done. You know, I guess we mentioned last week that she was a counselor at camp. Yeah, we did. In 2 weeks ago, we mentioned she was a counselor in a camp that was a full inclusion camp. We just received her photograph from camp today, framed it and put it up on the wall. And I want to tell you something. When you talk about Malchus, anybody who has a child who has done all of the things that my little Cyril has done as a parent, you understand what it is to get real Hasidish and Yiddish and Nachas from a child. So you want to tell anybody what's going on in Yerushalayim? Anything interesting?
Great. And it's a lot of people here, and I'm with my friends here, and it's a great day here. So, it's a lot of
colors. Yeah, and they're kind of fun to talk to, right?
Every
once in a while you run into a friend of yours, and, you know, they stop you on the street and say, "Sorry, how you doing?"
Sorry, can I ask you a question?
Fun, right?
Yes,
ma'am. Yeah. What do you feel, Suri, when you pray by the Kotel?
What was the question?
What does Suri feel when she's praying by the Kotel?
Oh, what do you pray for when you go to the Kotel?
I pray. I dove it at the Kotel. I dove it because I wanted to find a red boy to get married with.
Whoops, she just came right out of here.
See, that's my dad. I don't know.
And what about peace in Israel, like that?
The peace is great, and the Jerusalem is amazing, so that's a great job.
You like Jerusalem?
I like Jerusalem.
Yeah.
The best thing that Jerusalem is for the Jewish people to live in. It's perfect. So, yeah.
Place for Jewish people, right?
Yeah.
And should other people think about coming here?
Yes.
Yeah? So you're, like, working for the bringing more people to Israel?
Yes, to bring a lot of people here, at New York to here.
Right.
So I want my parents to be together, because it will be together, that's fine.
Right.
So, yes.
Whose anniversary is it today?
And the anniversary today is my daddy and my mom. And it's together because it's married 42 years ago. But it's together, so.
Wow, mazel tov. Mazel tov. Wow.
So it's a good day to be talking about Shidduchim, huh?
Wow. And it's 2 days after Tu B'Av, so we're in a... we're in a propitious time, and it should be that this coming year, so Hashem should bring you your husband, and you should bring you two should build your house among the Jewish people. So I have one more question to ask you. What is it about art that you like to be involved in art?
What was it? I'm sorry.
The question
is,
what is it about art that she loves or likes to be a part of, you know, developing her art skills?
My art is great, but I try to get
new things
to make up my own. So
she has a creative desire. I'm just going to paraphrase for her, because I'm going to tell you what we've discussed. She's trying to find new outlets and new, like any typical artist, right? Always looking for new methods of expression. So she's looking and searching and researching for new outlets. Hopefully she'll find it. You know, she's done painting. She's designed clothing, by the way.
Yeah.
You'll get a chance to see some of that on her blog. And she's done a lot of work and research with sewing. And she does painting, and she does write everything. So now she's looking for...
I'm looking for the green things, and I'm still trying to get some more art.
Right.
So I'm going to in the museum with it's able to come up in the videos of some more art.
You heard that? We're going to, next week, we're going to a couple of museums that she wants to visit deal with the history of Israel and art.
Yeah.
And she wants to see if she can find another medium of expression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Eliezer, we have about 6 minutes to go. So... I just want to just make one quick comment, and then I'll leave it to you to make your concluding statement.
You don't have to rush. Take your time.
Okay. I just amazing to me that with everything that you've discussed, the idea of now facilitating a means by which people who in the past were not only stigmatized, but during World War II were worse than stigmatized. I don't want to really emphasize the negative. And now they're getting a lease on life that was undreamt of 30, 40, 60, 70 years ago. How does it feel to be on the cutting edge of empowering human beings to defeat that Amalek-type attitude that only a certain type of people can live upon the earth?
Let me just say this real quick about that, if I can. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to just say goodbye, because I'm going to finish up on the...
Goodbye.
Take care, sir. Thank you for coming on.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye, Mommy.
Okay, hold on 1 second.
No problem.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I hear you.
Hello? Okay. Yeah, so here's the thing. First of all, on a strictly egotistical level, there probably was a point in time where I did feel that, you know, wow, look at all the great things that we've accomplished and so forth and so on. But in a more realistic fashion, you know, in a more down-to-earth perspective, I think that what we've done, I think the cutting-edge part is gone. Today, it's just a matter of increasing the level of acceptance and pushing the envelope a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look back at the 60s as an example, there were many things that were considered cutting edge in those days. For example, the Beatles music, just as, you know, when you look back at that. Today, it's elevator music, you know. So, you know, when you think about it, the kinds of things that we were that were happening at one time, I think I'm saying, okay, look, it's just a matter of finding the pieces that are still missing in the puzzle and continuing to say, look, it's not a completed project yet until all the pieces are here. So your question is a valid one in terms of the things that we've done, because my wife and I have been working in the field for close to 45 years, 50 years.
Right.
We're 50 years in the field. So when I look back on it in retrospect, there were times when we were cutting edge and didn't realize it because it just seemed like the right thing.
Right.
You, and you don't do it because it's cutting edge. You do it because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
Then when you do realize that you're doing something and you go, wow, look at that, look what I accomplished. So you can sit down and rest on your laurels and say, oh, look at all that we've accomplished at this point. But we now have all of, I mean, look, we have people here in Yerushalayim who have Down syndrome who during the war didn't have, they needed money, they needed food. You know, we did it. We took care of it. You know, we did it quietly. We're not going around and saying, hey, look, we're here and, you know, look at us and we're doing a great job. We're trying to be as quiet about it as possible because you're dealing with adults who have feelings and they don't want to be the recipient of tzedakah. You know, nobody,
right.
I mean, there are people who want to be a recipient of tzedakah and they want to say, and so oftentimes they'll say, thank you. But, you know, why don't we make a bracha before giving tzedakah? Because, you know, every other mitzvah we do, we say a bracha before we do it.
Right.
But when it comes to tzedakah, we don't make the bracha because what if, God forbid, the person doesn't need the money or doesn't want it? Then you
made
a bracha lebatala. You made a blessing in vain.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way of knowing and justifying making public the kinds of things that we are doing here. We're doing as many things as we can, as quietly as we possibly can, but we also are working and trying to make as much noise as we can about getting this building that we've got. We've got it tied up. It's ours. It's ours to have. We just need to, you know, finish. And we're asking everybody, please participate. Help us out. You want to be cutting edge? Here's an opportunity to open the doors of a place that will provide dignity for all the abled and differently abled people who are trying to strive to make a life of dignity and direction. And all they're asking for is an opportunity to show that they can succeed, that they can go to work and have an argument with people, and it's not going to jeopardize their job.
Right.
We have people, the young man that graduated from high school this past year, a couple of years ago, who went all the way through because of a program we designed. We have a couple other students that will be graduating this year and next year who are in programs that we personally designed for them and work with their school, and now they're about to graduate. And I'm not going to go any longer and make a big deal out of it. Why? Because I feel like it should just be the norm. And
right.
So what like I said, was cutting edge and what was very emotional for us at one time. And look, we're always happy to see another parent participate in the success of their child and have that nachas that they so richly deserve. But it's not something that we need to say, look at all the cutting edge stuff we're doing. It's more
right.
like along the lines of, let's all participate together and make sure that everyone who wants to can reach their full and complete potential and succeed in a way that will allow them to have, like I say, the complete dignity of life that everyone really deserves.
Amen.
In terms of our efforts, I think it's a collective effort. Anyone participating with us in this project will be blessed, and will be blessed in a magnitude of blessing that I can't even begin to tell you. And I know that there are people who've had problems with children, who've had problems in their marriage, who've had problems with their work, and who've had problems in shalom bias and, you know, in nachasmut and health. They've all written to me afterward and said, you know, I don't know what happened, but thank you, Baruch Hashem, this is what happened, and we've had this tremendous success. I am just saying, we're offering an opportunity. If you want to participate, please participate. If you don't want to participate, I can only give you the opportunity to participate. I can't make you do it. I can't tell you that it's, you know, the only way you can do that it can be done, but I can tell you that Hashem really loves these people that we work with. He loves the infants, the families, the children, the adults, and recognizes that you're a partner with us. A partner is more than just a donor. And when you're a partner with us in this great activity that we're participating in together, then you get the schar, you get the merit of this, and you get the full impact of all of the goodness and all of the kindness and all of the peace and love and dignity and joy that comes in doing this.
Amen.
And I just want to say, please participate. And you can also go to our website, www.hearttoheartamerican.org, and you can send in with a credit card, make your generous donation there, or use the addresses that we've given earlier in the program.
Amen. I'll just mention the phone number again, blessed souls out there, if you want to reach Rabbi Goldstock out here outside of the land of Israel, you would dial 011 would be the international code, I believe, to Israel, 972-528-6999. 72, again, that's 011-972-528-6999-72. Eliezer, I want to thank you very much for taking some of your most valuable time today, and also bringing on Suri, which I have to qualify now since she came on for the second straight time as a co-host, and she should be encouraged to come on more, and hopefully by next week you'll have the blog running for her that we can put on our Facebook wall, and all the latest developments with Shira Vizimra, and everything should be in a good oven, we only got to the tip of the iceberg, blessed souls, in terms of the topics we wanted to cover. Hopefully next week, which would be August 20th, hopefully Rabbi Goldstock will be available. I hope to be available. We'll be posting hopefully in a day or two before the Blessed Shabbat a programming advertisement for our next efforts. In the meantime, this is Don Zos Goodman wishing everyone a wonderful week as we get ready for the Shabbat. It should be a tremendous Shabbat. It should be a universal Shabbat with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu. And we'd like to end off with a song by Menachem Herman, who actually performed at my wife's wedding almost 24 years ago, playing along with Reuven Marantz and Tzvi Marantz and Gedalia Goldstein, also a good friend of of Rabbi Goldsberg, one of the, I think, one of the original members of the Aspro Band. This song is a remake of a song by, you guys might remember, Leonard Skinner. But here's the Jerusalem Jewish version called Sweet Home Jerusalem, in a way of a Havachad, one love, Gorlecha, one destiny, Kumano for all of us, Badaka, Shom Dachinom, in a peaceful, pleasant way, Laham Shikt, and continue, Bezazem, Bezbreik, Sweet Home Jerusalem, because this song soon will become the number one hit in the world, especially with the coming of Mashiach.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We'll all be singing the same tune.